Many of you have reached out to me annoyed at what I'm doing. And if I could sum up the criticism generally, it would sound something like this. Why are you doing this? Why get into this topic at all? Anti-Semitism is one of the most brutal and horrific ideological notions in human civilization. Why not make more of your music? Why not talk about spirituality or introspection? Because the fact that you're addressing this topic at all says more about you than anything that could be said about the Jewish people or the Jewish religion. And seeing you get lured into this trap is disturbing. What the fuck is wrong with you? To those of you listening who also occupy this criticism, I understand. But I'm not making this to stir up anti-Semitism. Please let me ask you a question. Am I allowed to say anything about Judaism or Israel or Jewish culture or even individual Jews themselves without sounding like an anti-Semite? And if so, why is that the case? Given that on this channel, I talk about white people and black people and Asian people all the time, why is discussing the Jewish people in a general way or in the same way one might discuss black crime or Asian IQ rates or white guilt different? Because it shouldn't be. But I know that it is.
A German court sentenced an 87-year-old grandma to 10 months in jail for denying the Holocaust.
That YouTube star, PewDiePie, who was dropped by Disney for anti-Semitism, I think there's a development there, Emay.
I acknowledge that this topic is mired in historical sensitivity, but God forbid I talk about a subject that, for better or worse, surrounds the internet political subcultures we inhabit. And the idea of just burying it in the sand or pretending like it's not worthy of conversation is absurd. So I ask for your patience and an open mind, as my intention is to present both sides as best my biased mind can, and to leave the rest up to you. That said, what is the Jewish question? The Jewish question is the belief that a preeminent, influential global force resides within the world's banks, governments, and media corporations, and that those who dominate these institutions are Jewish leaders, most of whom hold interests that are antithetical to the West, with many favoring policies and influencing politicians who push for open borders and multiculturalism in the West, while simultaneously funding programs that maintain Jewish homogeneity in Israel. One aspect of the JQ insists that Judaism is a religious system dedicated to achieving dominion over the goyim, or non-Jew, through coveted means. And say evidence for this claim rests in the Talmud, which is the primary source of Jewish religious law, with verses saying, quote, "Even the best of the goyim should be killed." Many who ask the Jewish question are asking, should any small group that makes up less than 2% of the population have majority influence and control of that population? Starting with the US, the evidence one provides to substantiate the JQ is as follows. Ashkenazi Jews make up 90% of the Jewish population in the US. And according to the US Census Bureau, Jews make up between 1.7% to 2.6% of the entire population. Here's the question. How many Jewish CEOs of major media corporations or owners of financial institutions or Hollywood production companies are there? And is this number reflective of a group that holds around 2% of the United States population? The answer is Jews are drastically overrepresented in positions of power. Abraham Foxman, national director of the ADL, Jeff Zucker, president of CNN, Robert Greenblatt, chairman of NBC, Rupert Murdoch, chairman and CEO of Fox News, Summer Rothstein, chairman of Viacom, Henry Kissinger, former U.S. Secretary of State, Robert Zoellick, former president of the World Bank, Alan Greenspan, chairman of the Federal Reserve from 1987 to 2006, Ben Bernanke, chairman of the Federal Reserve from 2006 to 2014, Janet Yellen, the current chairman of the Federal Reserve, Lloyd Blankfein, chairman and CEO of Goldman Sachs, Mark Zuckerberg, owner of Facebook. Larry Page, founder of Google and now the owner of YouTube. Gary Barber, CEO of MGM. Robert Iger, chairman and CEO of Disney. Michael Lenton, chairman and CEO of Sony Pictures. Brad Gray, chairman of Paramount Pictures. Leslie Moonves, chief executive of CBS. Harry Sloan, MGM chairman. Harvey Weinstein, co-chairman of the Weinstein Company. I really could go on and on and on, because the amount of Jews who own the most powerful banking and media companies in the world is stunning. Control over banks yields control over currency. Control over currency yields control over media corporations. Control over the media yields control over the government. And control over the government yields control over the people. But a common rebuke to this is as follows. These facts, on their own, say nothing of importance. Just because Jews are overrepresented in positions of power and influence says nothing about their intentions or their motives. In fact, one need only look at the average IQ rates of Ashkenazi Jews for a simple answer to all of this. Ashkenazi Jews are the smartest people in the world. Therefore, any society they end up in, they are more able to climb the ranks of our capitalistic ladders and become successful. And for people who value free markets, one would think you would appreciate the rapid success of the Jewish people in America. Not to mention the fact that most of these Jews who own banks or who own media corporations are atheists who have nothing to do with their so-called goy-hating religion or their culture, and who are obviously fully assimilated to the West. Think of people like Steven Pinker or Sam Harris or Gad Saad or Albert Einstein, or comedians like Andy Samberg, or Judd Apatow and Adam Sandler. People who obviously are a threat to no one, who have no secret agenda of Jewish dominance. Also, too often, the people who criticize Jews for being tribal or for having strong in-group preferences are the kinds of people who wish for their own race to be just as tribalistic. And I haven't even mentioned all the libertarian Jews, like Milton Friedman, or Ayn Rand, or Ben Shapiro, or Dennis Prager. Jews who obviously love America and the values they represent. The truth is, Jews are smart, and they work together. Therefore, they are successful. It really is that simple. But many who see credence in the JQ respond to this critique by fully acknowledging the IQ disparity among Jews and all other races as a factor in Jewish success. Of course, Jews are smarter than most of us, and this is part of the problem. But the bigger point is that Jewish influence in the West is not predicated on all Jews believing the same thing. There are obvious exceptions to every rule, but the exceptions, meaning the Jews who don't care that they're Jewish, or who seem to have no serious semblance of Jewish identity, says nothing about all the Jews in power who do. That said, some would claim that many of these so-called exceptions that were previously listed to debunk the JQ are in fact full of tribal in-group preferences. Judd Apatow, for example, with the exception of Steve Carell, has given all his starring roles to his fellow Jews. Adam Sandler, Seth Rogen, Jonah Hill, Jason Schwartzman, Sarah Silverman, Andy Dick, Paul Rudd, Jason Segel. Also, Sam Harris, Gad Saad, Ben Shapiro, Dennis Prager, Milton Friedman, and Ayn Rand are all pro-Israel, with Albert Einstein even donating to Zionist groups. But many JQers don't necessarily say this in-group bias is a bad thing. If anything, they applaud it and do in fact wish that many within their in-group would live the same way. The argument is that obviously Jews represent a plurality of views, but their in-group bias, no matter how mundane, is more sinister, calculated, and clever than others, claiming there is something inherent within Jewish identity, an identity mired in the Talmud, an identity mired in a culture continually forced into surviving by any means necessary, that makes it more problematic, overtly selfish, and dishonest, giving rise to troublesome behaviors, which have been mirrored and repeated in every society they travel to, and inevitably get kicked out of, something that will be expanded on in part two. But what exactly are Jewish interests, and how, or even do, they differ from American interests? How many times exactly have Jews been kicked out of societies? And are they being removed solely because of jealousy and irrational fear? Is anti-Semitism the real problem? Does this reoccurring phenomenon of Jews having so much trouble throughout history have more to say about us or them? Or is it a mixture of both? All of this and more in part two.